From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. Freelancers and independent contractors now account for 30% of the U.S. workforce. That translates to over 42 million Americans, a number that's expected to grow in the coming years. This hour, a conversation with Sarah Horowitz, founder and CEO of Freelancers Union. She'll tell us what it takes to start up a freelance business, and more importantly, survive and make a living working as your own boss. Then we'll talk with Iowans who were forced to reinvent themselves in the wake of a down economy and develop their own business, perhaps even including you. Are you cut out for freelancing? Find out after this news. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Freelancers and independent contractors now account for 30% of the U.S. workforce. That translates to over 42 million Americans, a number that's expected to grow in the coming years. This hour, we want to talk with Iowans who were forced to reinvent themselves in the wake of a down economy and develop their own businesses. Perhaps this includes you, and you can share your story a little later in the hour. First of all, though, we want to talk about what it takes to start up a freelance business, and more importantly, survive, make a living working as your own boss. My first guest is Sarah Horowitz, founder and CEO of the Freelancers Union. Sarah has been widely recognized for her entrepreneurial efforts to create a new support system for independent workers. In 1999, Sarah was honored with a MacArthur Foundation Fellowship. The Schwab Foundation selected her to be one of its 100 global leaders for tomorrow. That was at the 2002 World Economic Forum. And in 2010, Cranes named her one of 25 people to watch. Before founding the Freelancers Union, Sarah was a labor attorney in private practice and a union organizer. She joins us today from New York City. Welcome to our program, Sarah.
Thanks so much.
So tell us about a little bit more about what it means to be part of the independent workforce today. What does that include?
Well, you know, it really means that people are not working for one employer or one company in the long term. So people are working as freelancers or consultants or part-timers or temps. And that really the story is that we're doing so many things all to earn a living where we used to just have one job. And, you know, what I think is so important for people is some people choose this way of life. Some people feel like they're forced into it. But the reality is this is the way that people are working increasingly.
How did the recent economic collapse, which is still ongoing, of course, we're feeling the effects of that, affect your organization, the freelance workforce in general?
Well, you know, we do annual surveys, and what we found was, not surprisingly, that up to 12% of our members had received some form of public assistance, like food stamps, up from, you know, 2% in prior years. But we also found out other interesting things. So about 20% were actually doing fine. They had very many projects and gigs, and you could say, like, their portfolio was diversified, and so they were picking up a lot of work. And then 20%, I think, were just really doing terribly. And then the middle groups were really, for the most part, not having enough work, but it really ranged for how much they were squeezed. But what we're seeing is that as people are seasoned at freelancing, they really do have many different gigs that give them an ability to weather the storm much better than traditional workers.
Mm-hmm. The Freelancer Union predicts the number of freelancers will increase in the coming years. What factors lead you to that conclusion?
Well, you know, it's interesting that, unfortunately, the United States Department of Labor does not keep track of independent workers. It used to have a contingent work survey that was stopped in 2005. But we're seeing, for instance, companies like Odesk and Elance, which employ freelance workers, just have their numbers are just increasing. We're seeing different elements of self-employed, the numbers growing. But it's really that work is becoming much more flexible, that companies want just as many people as they need and are then just not rehiring them. And because our social safety net hasn't adapted, our members and independent workers aren't eligible, for instance, for unemployment because they're independent contractors. If they haven't gotten paid, they can't go to the Department of Labor and have someone pursue that claim to get the person paid. And really what we're saying is that we've got to build back economic security into our system and recognize that work is changing, not fight the trend, but recognizing the trend.
Mm-hmm. And this is a worldwide trend, I assume.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I think what is, when we look back at this time, what we'll think of as the surprise would be the short years after World War II, where people had, you know, one job with benefits and all that kind of security, because so much of the way people have historically worked is by piecing together a number of different projects or gigs or work, and we're in some ways going back to that. That's why I think what will be interesting is a lot of the strategies of, let's say, 100 years ago are going to turn out to be really relevant today. You know, unions coming together to provide health care for their members, community groups, faith-based groups, professional organizations, because as we see the government increasingly not in the subsidy business, we're going to have to start pulling our resources together into non-governmental kinds of organizations to help people build back some economic security.
Mm-hmm. You said our government is lagging. I'm not sure if that's the word you used, but our government is not doing what it could be to support the approximately 42 million Americans working as independent workers. So what do they need to do?
You know, I think the first step is that it's really that regardless of whether you're, you know, a Republican or a Democrat or anything else, it's that we have to realize that the ways that people are working is the government assumes that we're in a manufacturing kind of era. So we have unemployment only attached to employees who have long-term jobs. Any of those kinds of things that were built in the 1930s is irrelevant now.
Mm-hmm. And if you're a freelancer now and your source of work dries up, you have nothing, right?
You have absolutely nothing. And so it really makes it hard to be risk-taking and do all the things that you need to be successful. You have a very hard time getting access to capital, as I'm sure your freelancers, who, by the way, we do have freelancers in Iowa, so, you know, welcome to the new ones and hello to the current ones.
As a matter of fact, I want to reach out right now because a little later in the hour we'll be having people share their freelance stories. If you've become a freelancer recently or perhaps it's more in the past, what's your story? 1-866-780-9100 is our toll-free number, 1-866-780-9100. The Exchange at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Twitter at IPR Talk.
When you talk to freelancers later on in the show, you know, what you'll hear is if you're, you know, a hardworking freelancer and you go to get a mortgage, you have to pay more for that mortgage than a traditional employee because the banks assume that you have such episodic income that you should have to you're more of a risky case. Mm-hmm. They don't actually know if you're a risky case. It's just an assumption. Those are the kinds of things that we need to be thinking about. If this is the new workforce, let's start understanding it. Let's count it. Let's figure out what do people need to do well. If this is the group that's really going to be driving the economic growth of the economy, well, then let's really support it in the same ways that we have traditionally supported small farmers or small business. Let's start realizing this is a crucial piece.
Sarah Horowitz is my guest, if you've just joined us, founder and CEO of the Freelancers Union. We're talking about what it takes to become a freelancer, how the climate is and how the climate has been changing. Over about 30% of the U.S. workforce is made up of independent workers. Now, that translates to over 42 million Americans. For someone considering a freelance career, what qualities would you say are most important in a person, Sarah?
That turns out, I think, to be not only a great question, but really the most important, which is that freelancers who do well are the ones who are the most connected to other people. And I don't mean that in like a gross instrumentalist way. I mean it like they have an orientation of being helpful and open. So the most important thing is to find other freelancers or find other people in your field and to start talking to them. Let them know that you're looking for different work or different projects, trying to find out ways that you can be helpful to people. What's so interesting is that when you have a traditional job, so much of it is already organized for you. You come to the office, here's the project, you do the project, you're done, you get the next project. When you're a freelancer, you have to market yourself, you have to get the project, you have to figure out how to get the project done. And you have to figure out how to pay your benefits and taxes, et cetera, et cetera. So you've got to really have a lot of people that you ask advice from. And you have to realize that if you're going to ask for a lot, you better be in the giving department yourself and say, what do I know that I can be helpful in? And what you find is that it's actually a pretty nice way to be. And no secret that a lot of people who have just pretty fulfilling lives do that all the time anyway. But I think for freelancing, it's completely crucial. So I'd say that's number one. And the number two is that because the taxes and the tax code is geared, again, to the 1930s manufacturing workplace, your taxes will be crazy complicated and you should go to an accountant. And I don't say that lightly, but it's just true.
Mm. You talked earlier about seasoned. You used that word seasoned freelancer, and those are more likely to survive in bad economic times, to thrive, as a matter of fact. What is that, being seasoned as a freelancer?
I'll give you a specific example. So let's say you have been freelancing and you are a graphic artist, let's just say. The work for all freelancers is feast or famine. And so you take all work that comes your way, and sometimes you're just completely overwhelmed, and then you just have dry periods. That's just the case for every single freelancer at one time or other.
Get used to it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is the truth, and you can't judge yourself. Because people are often isolated, they think it's just happening to them. No, it happens to everybody. But a seasoned freelancer will have relationships with other graphic artists so that when they have too much work, they can outsource the work to somebody else who they know is excellent. And they also know that somebody else who's overworked can come to them. So they start finding out ways to even out that feast or famine lifestyle. And the most important thing is, ironically, because you're on your own, you have to be more connected to other people. You just have to realize you can't do it all. And so it's perfectly okay to come up with interesting barter arrangements or other things. Everybody does it, and that's a really great coping mechanism. But it really shows you're interdependent. And so embrace that and find your way to be, because that's really crucial.
Mm-hmm. And again, for someone considering a freelance career, not in it right now, are there any personality types? I know we can all learn things to a certain degree, but any personality types that are definitely not cut out for a freelance career?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the lack of economic protection means that there are times that it's just really hard, because if you really worry a lot and you're in an economic situation where you're the sole earner in your household, that's going to be hard. It is going to be hard. But sometimes people don't have the choice, and that's just the truth of it, too. I'd say also, you know, this again goes to the idea of finding ways to partner with other freelancers. A lot of people hate doing the marketing to get the work. So, you know, as you could imagine, you could start having partnerships with some people who are great at doing the marketing and you're great at doing the work. And to really be creative in that way and realize there are no rules. You're going to write the rules. So if there's something you don't like, well, just accept that and figure out how can you make up for that. And that's what's so interesting about freelancers, is that they have developed all these interesting ways of coping. Another thing that I just love about freelancers is that you'll talk to somebody at, let's say, a party, and you say, well, what do you do? And they'll say, well, you know, I'm an accountant and I'm an opera singer. And that people find ways to do the things they love and at the same time do the things that pay the bills. And what I love is that they still find ways to do the things they love, because so many people, especially as we are, quote, adults, have to give that part up. And you really don't have to, but you do have to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. You talked earlier about how taxes are slanted against freelancers, about how unemployment insurance is not the same as for a traditional job. What about health care? How has this Health Care Reform Act affected the independent worker, generally speaking? Has it been good for the 42 million freelancers?
Yeah, well, I would definitely say that the lowest income independent workers, a lot of people who are in agriculture and rural areas, are going to be covered for the first time, you know, with significant subsidies. And I think that will be huge. For the freelancers who are more middle class, who are moderate income earners, like above 300% of poverty, you know, that's really going to have to be in version two of what comes next. That freelancers, I don't think, were really contemplated, and if people did, they thought that they would just be individuals. But I think it just really shows that freelancers have to come together and start saying, we have distinct needs. And so that's why at the Freelancers Union, we're really eager to start figuring out ways that we can group people together. Just, you know, the great traditions of Iowa and all across America, you know, of cooperatives and other kinds of mutual aid organizations, and, you know, solve our own problems by pooling our resources together. And I think that we'll see that in the next couple of years, you know, with the Obama administration, and I hope going forward, because it's just good sense for this country. It really shouldn't be so political.
Mm-hmm. So am I hearing you saying that there's a spectrum of independent workers that will benefit, or to one degree or another, from the Health Care Reform Act?
For sure.
And the higher income earners among the independent workers, among the freelancers, are not as likely to benefit, or will they as well?
Well, you know, I think that they will for the large structural changes. Like, you know, I think we all have to agree that eliminating the pre-existing condition stuff is, you know, just great and important. And also, if everybody has to buy health insurance, we will, as a country, have younger and healthier people buying health insurance, which should bring down the prices for us all, setting up targets. You know, so I think that there will be larger changes, and freelancers as citizens will do better. I think that what we really do have to focus on is that we're at the beginning of the next era, you know, of the next economy, and that can be frightening, but it also means that we have opportunities to put things together just the same as when, you know, our generations past were in the middle of a depression and put together the New Deal. You know, it's not a time that's easy, but that's what we have to do, and we shall do it. And so, you know, freelancers are going to be the leaders on this, because we are the ones that are working in this new way.
Let's say I want to start as a freelancer. I'm listening to this conversation. I'm very excited by what you have to say. I'm sort of weighing the pros and cons, Sarah Horowitz, of this. Where do I start? How do I find out more about this career path to see if it's a good fit, or potentially a good fit?
The first thing I would do is find out, you know, in your field, do you know any other freelancers? And I'd immediately go and say, can I take you to lunch? Can I chat with you? I would talk to my friends, my relatives. You know, start with the people you know. Like, you actually have a lot more resources than you think. And then start finding out what work might be available, and to try and put it into a project form. Like, I can do X, Y, and Z things for this amount per hour by this date. And then just go out there and start talking to people, and you'll see that the work comes in, and then do a great job and build up your reputation, and make sure along the way that you're always giving and helping others. And you'll see, like, that I'm not just saying that, like, to be kumbaya. It's just true, because then it really comes back to you in future work.
When people fail as freelancers, what are some of the common reasons?
For sure, I think that people have a hard time putting together these projects and having it be in a defined form. And having a hard time with that feast or famine, which is objectively really hard, and needing more structure and having a hard time. I think also the group I often worry about the most actually are men over the age of 50, because it really requires you to be nimble. And I think a lot of times older, not that people over 50 are older, but when people are used to working for many decades in one way and then being kind of, quote, forced into this, it often can feel overwhelming, whereas I think people who are just graduating from college expect this. And so often it doesn't have anything to do with your ability to do the work. It has to do with the other things around it. And that's why, you know, at the Freelancers Union, we have educational programs, but so too do people's professional associations. And that's another thing. Just find out whatever you are, look up your professional association and start going to those meetings and meet with other people. That really is the key to it.
I was a freelancer for many years, Sarah Horowitz, and I wanted you to comment on something that I experienced after working in a traditional workplace and then becoming a freelancer, working 7 or 8 years as a freelancer, then returning to a workplace. Mm-hmm. I found that my mindset completely changed when I returned to a traditional workplace. Can you describe, perhaps, what that mindset change is after you've worked as a freelancer? I think, and please expand on this, I think you get a bigger I think you get a better idea of how valuable you are in a unit, what you can actually contribute to an organization, where prior to a freelance experience, you may not know that because it's never been tested.
Yep. No, I think that, I think that because you have to do every single element of the work when you're a freelancer, you really see the organization in sort of its fuller form. So when you go back to work, you kind of are already thinking, well, I see the issue, I see the problem or the opportunity. Now I can conceive of how to do it, and now I can see how to implement it. And, you know, you're much more empowered to do quite a bit more. So, yeah, it is so different. And I'd say, in sort of getting to back to your earlier question, that's where I think people can often have problems, is they're expecting to have the work more organized for them. And when it's not, I think it can be very frustrating, and people don't get that you actually have to really be doing kind of everything.
Right. And one of the benefits of coming back after being a freelancer, or just the freelance experience in general, is in a traditional workplace, then you see your work through your boss's eyes, don't you?
It's true. And also, you have one boss. You know, we talk about that a lot in terms of job lock with benefits, that people feel like they can't leave because where would they go with benefits? But with freelancers, they don't have that. You are working for so many different people. You're not dependent on one boss for your whole identity. You have an ability to kind of move if somebody's really a jerk. And so, you know, it's actually in many ways, and specifically, it can be better.
Let's wrap this up by having you sort of cast this into the future. Now, 30% of the U.S. workforce, independent workers, freelancers, translating to over 42 million Americans, a number that you say is expected to grow. What are the changes on the horizon in this area, independent work?
You know, what I think is going to happen is that the market is going to gallop on ahead, and this is the new way that people are working. And as they experience this, they will start saying, wait a minute, I am going to have so many different jobs and gigs in the course of my career. I'm going to need to be able to balance that. I'm going to need to belong to organizations to get, you know, my health insurance, my information, my networking, my source for jobs. And they're going to start calling for a different kind of government, one that is supportive of mutual aid organizations, that's going to have capital for small independent worker groups to expand their businesses. And I think that we're going to see much more local activity that's based on smaller gigs rather than big manufacturing jobs that are located, you know, in big parts of the country. It's going to be much more decentralized.
Fascinating insight. Sarah Horowitz, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Founder and CEO of the Freelancers Union. Sarah, perhaps mention how people can contact you, find your website.
Yeah, people can just go to freelancersunion.org, and they can reach me at sarah@freelancersunion.org directly.
Wonderful, Sarah. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye now.
Coming up, the stories of two Iowans who left their traditional 9-to-5 jobs. We'll discuss their experiences as freelancers, plus your phone calls. Today, as we examine the growing field of freelancers and independent contractors, on The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. Great to have you with us over the noon hour. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, talking this hour about the world of freelancers and independent contractors, which now account for 30% of the U.S. workforce, translating to over 42 million Americans, a number that's expected to grow in the coming years. This half hour, we want to talk with Iowans who were forced to reinvent themselves in the wake of a down economy, develop their own businesses. We also want to reach out to you. Are you a freelancer? What's your story? Was it by design or by default after losing a job? 1-866-780-9100, theexchange@iowapublicradio.org is our email. We're also on Twitter @IPRTalk. Joining us now to share their stories, Ruth Parman. Ruth heads her own freelancing company called Parlance Creative Writing in Cedar Rapids. The business she created offers copy for a variety of projects. Ruth, welcome to our program.
Thanks, Ben.
And joining us from our Des Moines studio, Julie West. Her company, Westworks, offers high-end digital photography, specializing in architecture, product, and fashion. Julie's freelance organization, Freelance Pros, sponsored the 2010 Freelance Camp to help independent contractors network and grow their businesses. Julie, so good of you to come in this afternoon.
Thanks,
to our
Ben.
Studio. Thank you. Let's go to both of your stories. Julie, would you start us off? What's your story? You were laid off, and that led to freelance work?
Yeah, I have that default status. The last two, quote, real jobs that I had, I was laid off of. I was a single mom at both times and decided I wanted to be in control of my own destiny. And I've always freelanced on the side, even when I was working full-time. And now I work more than full-time as a freelancer, doing graphic design, and my husband as a commercial photographer. Started in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
With Westworks.
And what was the biggest sort of mental hurdle you had to get over to step out of that traditional work and enter freelancing and not be, as I imagine anyone is entering it, frightened?
It's very frightening. I mean, I had to get a second mortgage to get a computer to do my graphic design work. And I had two little girls, and that mortgage payment and all those bills piling up was my big motivator. I had to pay the bills. But I'd also networked with people over the years, and Sarah Horowitz talked about the networking, and that is extremely important. And that's what my organization, Freelance Pros, is all about.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell us, your freelance organization, Freelance Pros, sponsored this 2010 Freelance Camp to help independent contractors network and grow their businesses. What is Freelance Camp?
Well, Freelance Camp, our Freelance Camp, was based on a model that was started in Santa Cruz, and we piggybacked onto their organization to put ours together. And we it's a bar camp style. We had it in October of this year, and it was basically this unstructured event. People show up, what do you want to talk about? And we picked four subjects, and we broke out into sessions, and it was awesome. I mean, these people were just, you know, bringing information and needing information, so it was an incredible networking experience.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that we talked about were like peaks and valleys and social media and marketing yourself and all these things that are important to have your own independent contracting business.
As we're seeing indications that freelancing, independent working is blossoming in a bad economy, did you notice that in your freelance camp work?
It was interesting because there was every walk of life in there, every age group, and so many different talents. And we basically work with IT and creatives and writers and things like that. But some of them were just starting out. Some have been doing it for years, and they all were wanting information and really craving the networking opportunities to, you know, lean on each other and learn from each other and grow their business. And the economy definitely plays a part of it. You know, a lot of people are just tired of answering to one boss. I mean, there are pluses and minuses. You know, you have more bosses as a freelancer, so sometimes that gets aggravating. But it was definitely people are not wanting to rely on an employer. They want to be in control of their future.
Ruth Parman, tell us your story. You own the freelancing company Parlance Creative Writing in Cedar Rapids. How did that start for you? Also with the end of a traditional job?
Right. Much like Julie, I had been laid off from corporate America, and I had previously worked in advertising and printing and different communications roles. And I, too, had freelanced a little bit on the side. Maybe not as much as Julie. It seems like designers are always busy. But every once in a while, I'd get a freelance job and I'd work on that. And then when I was laid off, I looked for work for a little bit. And then I realized, you know, now may not be the best time in the economy. It was 2002. Things were really tanking in terms of like advertising agencies that were longstanding. You know, institutions were falling apart. But I just kind of bucked up and said, well, I'm just going to try this because mm-hmm. I did some interviewing. I looked for jobs, and I think they kind of saw in me an independence that didn't fit in with their organization. And I think that perhaps I may never end up back in the employ of one employer.
Right. You've seen too much to go back.
I think that might be the case. I did StrengthsFinder recently, too, and that kind of indicated that, yeah, this person is not really well suited to large organizations.
So in a nutshell.
In a nutshell, it was very similar.
Ruth, you tell me, what is the personality that is best suited to freelancing, if there is one? And then, Julie, I'd like your opinion before we go to calls.
Yeah. I think that being flexible is really important. Being a problem solver is really important, kind of like Sarah had talked about before. You have to be able to do things that you never thought you would have to do, like sell yourself. For me, being diversified in my skill set, I'm a freelance writer, but I do everything from writing articles and public relations to writing websites and brochures and print materials, too. I'm very diversified in what I do. And that helps make me successful because I started out writing articles for very little money. And then it's evolved into copywriting, which is what I really want to do,
right,
for more money. And now I've also found article writing that's worth more money, too. So
you have a bigger view, a larger view of what you can do. You're not talking mm-hmm. about this is my job. You
right.
talk about this is my skill set. Mm-hmm. What I'm doing right now may encompass part or all of that skill set or just a small fraction of it. But I have a skill set, that a diversified skill set that gives
right.
me must give a sense of security as well.
Absolutely. And it's also scary because you're stretching yourself a lot of times into areas that maybe you're not as familiar with
mm-hmm.
and you're learning all the time. And that's one of the things that I really enjoy about it is the learning and the variety that
Julie,
it brings.
Julie West in Des Moines, mm-hmm. anything to add to that as far as the type of person that is a good freelancer?
Well, you have to be, like she said, flexible, but you also have to realize that you're going to wear a lot of different hats and be self-motivated. You have to set some goals and go after them and not be afraid. And the freelance camp that we had, you know, the theme was be in business for yourself, not by yourself. So that gives you the strength with the numbers and the networking and not being afraid to ask people for help or advice. I mean, that's huge.
A lot of people want to get in on our conversation today, 1-866-780-9100 to hear perhaps stories of self-employment, freelancing. Let's go to Dorian in Dubuque. Dorian, are you a freelancer?
Hi, I am a freelancer.
Yeah, tell us your story. What would you like to add to our conversation?
Well, I kind of came a little bit differently. I did it by choice in the beginning, and it became a necessity. I've been a freelancer for 10 years as an advertising company, and it was only because I wanted to leave New York City and move to Chicago and made the choice myself to leave the companies that I was working for and break off on my own in a different city. From there, I got married and have a child, and then it became a necessity to continue this lifestyle. But it does provide me a great deal of freedom to be able to be closer to my child as I raise her.
Right. So you can, because it sounds like you're working online, you can, have your child in the next room or even in the same room and be doing some work, right?
Certainly the next room. But exactly. And certainly, I started doing this 10 years ago, and the Internet was really just coming of age then, and really the capabilities were just starting to be discovered. And it's just changed the way that we're able to work. I'm able to have clients around the country, yet, have the same enjoyment being able to appreciate living in Iowa.
Mm-hmm. What's the biggest bummer in the freelance world for you, Dorian?
It kind of echoes what a lot of the people have been saying. It's really wearing all of the different hats. Not only am I running the firm, handling the sales, and you're handling the client relationships, and you're handling the collection of payments. So you're wearing different hats within the office every day.
Right. Chasing after money is not fun for anybody. I guess they work at collection agencies. In fact, they run collection agencies, the people who actually find that fun. Thank you for your call, Dorian from Dubuque. Let's go to Glenda in Cedar Falls. Hi, Glenda.
Hi. I call myself a freelance multitasker. And that's basically what I do. As long as it's not illegal or immoral and I know how to do it or can figure it out, I'll do it.
Mm.
And this started, I graduated from UNI right after September 11th. And really couldn't find what I wanted to do, and I happened to watch a public television show where there was a woman who'd written a book called Refuse to Choose about people who want to do everything. And I figured out I'm a scanner. I want to do everything. I don't want to do just one thing. So I teach gen ed computer classes. I also teach them for companies. I do consulting. I do bookkeeping for small businesses, proofreading and editing. I am a virtual assistant for one client who does a lot of traveling. And and there are other things I want to get into, too, as soon as
Glenda, let me ask you this. How do you market yourself? Because I don't know how I would feel about someone saying, oh, I'm a multitasker, and then you've got a very specific job for that person. You would say, ah, jack of all trades, master of none.
But I'm not. I'm a master of the things that I do. And that's just been with my experience, my office experience throughout the years, plus the confidence that a college degree gave me and some of the business aspects there. I don't market myself. I just network, and people find me.
Okay.
And that's just how it's been.
Word of mouth. Word of mouth is a great way to get around, and you avoid all the costs of marketing and all the effort if you can do that. Glenda, we have a lot of calls.
Networking, yeah? I can help people in other areas. One thing I really wanted to talk about is you want to do the fun stuff, but everything has to be done, and that includes bookkeeping. That's where, in my business, I find a lot of people in a very big world of hurt.
They don't like the bookkeeping, and so they neglect it, and then they get into a pain. Let me turn to our other guests, Glenda, and ask Julie, for instance, what do you do with those? So you have to be so multifaceted. Say you don't like the bookkeeping aspect. What's a strategy there?
I just recently streamlined all of our bookkeeping so it's easier doing QuickBooks. I mean, find software, find people to hire people to do those pieces that you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you can put your efforts in what you're good at. If you're a photographer, you know, spend your time doing photography. Let somebody else do the book work. If you can afford to do that. If not, you got to do it yourself. You just buck up and do it and just enjoy the parts that you enjoy.
Okay, Glenda, thank you very much for your call. We have to move on. A number of other calls we want to get to. Glenda joining us from Cedar Falls. Thank you so much. And also from Cedar Rapids, Brent. Hi, Brent.
Hi, Ben. How you doing?
I am doing fine. You are a freelancer.
I am. Been working over the last year as a freelancer with digital media production, and I just wanted to comment, online there are apparently a lot of great opportunities for freelancers, but my experience working as both a freelance writer and media producer and designer, I've discovered that one of the sites mentioned by your guests in the first half hour, Elance.com, you know, what I'm finding is that the flood of freelance talent into the online communities and basically the reality that now myself as a freelancer has to compete with individuals from all over the world willing to do the same job,
right,
has really depressed the wages. And I also have worked as a writer. Demand Media is the leading freelance provider of writing jobs online. You know, what has emerged is a cottage industry of what I call freelance sweatshops that really exploit individuals' desires to work independently with wages that are fractional of what independent freelancers would normally make in normal work environments, especially locally.
Uh-huh. Brent, and so you've been in freelancing this way with media for about a year. Is that something for you for the long term? Have you found it's not to your liking?
Well, I've been doing it actually since 2002, but because of my layoff, I had the best of both worlds. I had a regular job, regular paycheck, good benefits, but also worked as a freelancer. When that ended, I was forced to rely solely on freelancing. And I have to say, again, echoing what's already been said, I think I'm spoiled with the freedom I've enjoyed. I'm not sure how I would work in the regular work world now that I've enjoyed those unparalleled freedoms. That's the positive. The negative is that there is that lack of security, and because there is this sudden uptick in freelance labor that's available thanks to the economic situation we're in, those wages that freelancers have normally enjoyed are under pressure. They're under pressure from people who are willing to do the work for less.
Right. I suppose that cuts both ways, though, too. You have to compete with the world, but the world is your oyster. You have the world to look to. You could go work for a company in Europe, in any other part of the world. You could go take a job from someone who lives in India.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ben?
Yeah. Julie?
Yeah. I mean, the competition and what he's talking about, there are a lot of, quote, freelancers out there are just in between jobs and willing to take any amount of money for a project. Well, we're out there. This is our full-time job. It's an interim thing for them. So I have trouble saying I'm a freelancer. I would rather say I'm an independent contractor or a small business owner because, like Brent said, the freelancers are kind of getting a bad rap because they're willing to whore it out, basically.
Mm-hmm. And so the difference really between a freelancer and an independent contractor is, Julie?
I take it seriously. This is my career. Mm-hmm. You know, this is my job. This is my company.
Julie, and you don't see it that way. Ruth, you don't see it that way.
Well, I mean, they're, to me, freelancer, independent contractor, whatever you call it. I mean, I call myself an entrepreneur first, but, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
the easy way to say it is freelance writer, and people understand what that means.
Right. We just got some baggage, for some people, attached to that word freelancer.
Yeah.
So perhaps moving on
yeah.
to a different one. Brent, I want to thank you for... joining our conversation, Brent from Cedar Rapids. Thanks. And this is an email from Mary Beth. She writes, if you have a thick skin, the rewards are flexibility and good money. Without benefits or limited benefits, it is similar to a trade worker. If you don't show up, you don't get paid. My freelance work inspires me to think on my feet every day. I never rest on any laurels. I am as good as what I did a few minutes ago. And more importantly, what I will deliver later today and in the future. Mary Beth with that comment. 1-866-780-9100, the exchange at iowapublicradio.org. Looking at the clock, we only have a few minutes left. I'm wondering, as we talk about the independent working sector, freelance sector as a growth field in our economy, Ruth, Julie, do you think it's good for our economy to be moving in this direction or simply... hey, it's the way things are. We have to adapt.
Oh, I think it's great.
Julie,
I think it's self-fulfilling. I think people have been frustrated by being locked into, you know, the corporate world. Here's an opportunity. But the corporate world is important, too. So we're just expanding on it. And I think people are going to be happier because of it. But it is a huge adjustment and mindset change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that, Ruth?
Yeah, it is a mindset change. And that goes not only for people who are entering this field, but also for the companies who are used to having employees and treating them a certain way. Freelancers are treated differently in the eyes of the law, in the eyes of taxes. And so it's, yeah, everybody still has to adapt.
In the first half hour, Sarah Horowitz talked about how our economic structure is more in tune with what she called an out-of-date manufacturing economy from the last century. I wonder, Julie, do you agree?
Oh, totally.
What ideas do you have then for making the working world more freelance-friendly?
Well, hinging your job with your health insurance is just insane. That needs to be removed. You shouldn't have to have it, your health insurance should be able to move with you. Then the other thing is the tax structure. If you're sole proprietorship, you're getting nailed big time. I mean, we formed an S corp several years ago just because we were getting double taxed.
Mm-hmm. So give us an idea for those who don't work in the freelance world. What are the taxes like?
Well,
you got a self-employment tax, that's 30%,
right?
Yeah,
a self-employment tax. Yeah, I don't have the percentages in front of me, but I just knew that we were paying so much more. And I'm willing to pay my fair share. It's just paying double I didn't enjoy. Mm-hmm. And so LLCs and S-Corps and those types of things is a little bit more evening out. But that's unfair to have to do that to a single person to make them do that. So you do need to talk to your accountant and your lawyer and make sure you're set up financially sound.
Okay, just a few seconds left. How will health care changes in law affect you, Julie?
We have huge high deductibles. We have to do an individual health insurance. It's just crazy. I'm hoping and praying that they iron things out and make it a little more of an even playing field between the people that are hired. So.
Okay. Final words from Ruth as we leave. What are your final thoughts, Ruth Parman? Anything?
Nothing. I mean, just it's great to be able to do this and be an entrepreneur and have the flexibility to find the jobs that I want to work on.
Okay. Ruth Parman of the company Parlance Creative Writing in Cedar Rapids. Julie West, Westworks in Des Moines. I want to thank you both for offering your stories and your experience, your insights. Ruth and Julie, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
And we want to thank all the callers and emailers we had for this half hour. The Exchange is produced by Catherine Perkins and Alex Hoyer. Production assistance today from Christina Sarnelli. Technical support from Dennis Reese in Des Moines. John Pemble helped us out. The executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows is Jeff Schmidt. Podcasting and on-demand audio of The Exchange available at iowapublicradio.org. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.